This is about, this is about Don's height here. Or, yeah. Does that work? Yeah? Okay. Hi. Okay, I'm done. So a little bit nervous. I'm usually great with small groups, small people, you know, small gatherings and stuff, but I'm not great on stage, you can tell. I guess I'll start off with a confession. I admittedly have issues that I'm working through personally in my life. Everybody does. Over the past 2 years, I'm Josh, by the way, just to clarify. Don't have my name badge. I tried to make one, but it didn't work. thank you. You are too, man. The past 2 years, I've been kind of on a slow, negative slope. If you know your algebra, it's kind of going this way down the curve there. But very recently, within the last, 5-6 months or so, it kind of had an uptick. And what I mean by that is spiritually, relationship with my family, my wife, and with my job, just wasn't going right. I had a difficult job that I was not dealing with in the right way. I wasn't really seeking God first in order to get the answers I need to handle the situation correctly. So instead, I did my thing, which didn't exactly work. And I wasn't the only person who was caught in the fallout of that. I hurt quite a few people. It's hard to talk about. But being here at New Song, I had some close people who came to me and helped me, get off of that plateau of aggression and bad decision-making. I had good guidance from people who I didn't think to look toward, really. So anyway, now, after lots of prayer and lots of spiritual development, very fast, surprisingly fast, lots of support, I have a much better job now, yay. I don't have to deal with confronting the situation by myself anymore. Recently, in the last couple of weeks, I was rewarded in surprising ways. A close friend of mine offered me something that he was gifted in order to spend really close and confined space time with my family, which I didn't think I needed, but I did. It was difficult, but it paid off in the end because the blessings that came out from that trip were just innumerable. First, we went to an amusement park a couple weeks ago, and I should probably say at this point, I'm terrified of roller coasters. I can't do roller coasters. Maybe when I was younger, but I'm absolutely terrified of them. Amusement park rides like the merry-go-round, the carousel thing, Ferris wheel, the teacups ride, those are my speed. I'm cool with those. But anything that turns me upside down at 60 miles per hour or throws me to the left when I don't think that's going to happen, it just surprises me. I don't do that well. But I participated in some of those things at this amusement park because my wife likes roller coasters. So that's one of the many ways that we're opposites and that works. So she got me to go on it, and immediately with the experience there, I had things come to mind, certain phrases that I wouldn't normally say out of fear, anxiety, fear for my life, for my wife's life. I'm reaching over, grabbing her, and say, "Don't fall, please." I didn't say those things because of some of those changes that came about, like I said before, recently, spiritual development stuff. For a long time, I had been prone to using words, language that is not becoming of a Christian person. And I've been avoiding that a lot lately, so that doesn't happen anymore. One of the smaller changes, but it's important, you know. You should always, if you believe in Jesus, you follow him, you're a Christ follower, you should always put forth an image of somebody who is above that sort of language, that sort of lowbrow humor that doesn't really support or bolster anybody's spirit. A lot of people dwell in things like that. It's not right. It's not Christ-like. So anyway, we went to the amusement park, and that was a great day. I got to spend with my family, and my kids loved it. They didn't go on any roller coasters. They're too small. I did not make them do that. That would have been a bad parenting thing to do. So I didn't do that. But they did have a blast. That was great. And then about a week later, this past week and about 10 days back, I went on a family trip that we had been planning. I made it a priority. It wasn't necessarily something that we easily afforded without lots of planning and such, but you can tell I'm not well off. But it worked out. We have two vehicles. One of them I had prepared. I was getting it ready. I had help from a friend, and we were working on it, and it was great. It was all go, and there was one little tiny part in there, one part that kept me from actually making the trip in the nice, fancy new vehicle. And it had to be replaced, otherwise it wouldn't have been a safe trip. So then we have this other vehicle, which is a little bit bigger, not as good on gas mileage, minivan. And in the very last minute, we made the decision to switch vehicles. And it doesn't seem like it, but even though it's a simple decision to make to which vehicle to take on a trip, it was one of about 6,000 choices I had to make in the last week or so before this happened, because that's just the way things happen. But anyway, we chose the right vehicle. It ended up being extremely comfortable, lots of room. We had all of our stuff in there. The kids were able to get down and play on the floor and stuff. Admitting I broke the law there. on the highway, they should be in their chairs. It turned out to be a fantastic trip. And we have beautiful photos. I actually thought about sharing a few, but I didn't get them ready in time. We went out to Colorado. We stopped in Iowa to see some of my relatives and things. We went to Colorado, stayed for a few days, got beautiful pictures. We had a wonderful time. And after praying about it, I know that this is kind of a reward for me and my family because of my willingness to sacrifice and grow. As I'm now stepping out of my comfort zone here, I have been doing a lot of that. It was a reward for doing the things that I know God wants me to do. When Pastor Herb asked me to talk, he didn't really give me a whole lot of direction, but he did ask me to mention a difficult time and how I got over it, how I got through it, how God helped me out. And I guess I came through it, and from a place where I was not following him correctly, I thought I was, but I was totally wrong, to a place now where I get along with my family better than I ever have. I'm happier. I'm more alert, I'm healthier, and it's all because of God's grace. And then it's not a thrilling story necessarily. I don't have a you know, a cathartic moment saying this is when it clicked, you know, and I don't have that. I just have my story that I just gave you. That's it. So, blessings.
Go ahead and do that. Thanks for sharing, Josh. I know it's not always easy to get up and share. So I'm going to try to not be the distracted mom. As you heard, one of ours is sick at home, and I think Satan uses things like that to distract. So I'm going to do my best not to be distracted and anxious about that as I share. And the funny thing is, too, David and I, we have this thing where I don't know what it is, but we usually don't hear each other speak. Most of the time when David's preached or shared, I've been having to stay home. So I guess now it's his turn to not hear me, but I guess I'll make him listen to the recording of it. Well, most of you have heard our story, at least in parts, or the adoption parts, and the amazing story of Jaden and Chloe and Bella. But Pastor Herb asked me to kind of rewind and go back and share a little bit more in detail personally and share what got David and I to that point. Because David and I both, in talking about our stories, sometimes we feel like in seeing us, people kind of maybe put us on this pedestal and feel like, wow, you know, they're such an amazing couple. They're doing such an amazing thing. And We hear it a lot, and I kind of want to debunk that and say no. It's taken a lot to get us to that point, and it's been God. It's not been anything that we've done ourselves at all. And so I think we need to have that disclaimer on us all the time, because it's taken a lot to get us both to this point. So Pastor Herb asked me to kind of go back and share that, share what kind of got us to this point, and me personally, to prepare me for the role that I'm in now. And there's been a lot. So growing up, I'll share, start at birth, I guess. That's the best place to start, maybe. But the home that God placed me in was a wonderful home. You know, it had its quirks and it's had the dysfunction, but it was a home where God was there, and I learned about Christ, I learned about the gospel. We were one of those families that was in church anytime the doors were open, as much as we could be. You know, I have very early memories of being there, and it was like a big extended family. And it wasn't perfect either. I know Pastor Herb talks about, you know, each church, we're not perfect because we're human. And it wasn't. But growing up, I knew that my parents loved the Lord. For me, my mom especially, as a daughter and as a woman, you know, I kind of looked up to her more. And she just exemplified the gospel for me. You know, she made sure that we did devotions. We used to tease her about it because she would always be the one, okay, we need to do our devotions before school. And but she made that a part of our life. And, well, it wasn't just a part. It was our life. And she made it very clear, you know, about church, that it wasn't just an obligation that we had to do. It was a relationship. That was made very clear. And so I knew early on that there was more to it than just we had to go to church and that was what we were supposed to do. You know, it was about a relationship, and I saw that in both of my parents' lives. My mom also exemplified a lot of the spiritual disciplines. You know, I saw her praying. I saw her doing her own devotions. I saw her serving, and she involved us in that. I remember getting clothes together and toys together that we weren't using and donating them. I remember serving in soup kitchens, and she made it a big part of our lives. And so from early on, that was what really introduced me to Christ and the gospel. And then within our church, I had Sunday school teachers. The pastor's wife at our church started our Sunday school curriculum, I remember. And she was just so much fun, and she made it fun and a place where we wanted to be and where we learned about Christ. We memorized scripture. We learned songs. And so growing up, very early, I got a wonderful knowledge of the scripture, and it became exciting. It became something that I wanted to stick with me. Our Sunday school teachers in Good News Club, we had a thing called Good News Club, and it was where we learned more scripture. So I was kind of jammed full of it, but it was fun, and it was something that I wanted to be a part of. And so when I was around 6 years old, I don't remember the exact date, but I do remember the time and the place and the person. It was my Good News Club teacher, and she was actually the mother of one of my good friends. She was teaching, and before that, I had prayed the sinner's prayer lots of times, and it really annoyed my brother because he was like, you only have to pray it once to be saved. You don't need to keep praying it, but I was a little worried. I didn't quite get it. And so finally then one evening at Good News Club, our teacher was speaking about the gospel, about Christ on the cross, and it clicked, you know, that it was for my sin. It was a one-time thing. It was a personal decision to accept him as my Savior and then grow from there. And so I talked with her, and I made that decision from then on. And after that, I didn't feel any need to pray the sinner's prayer anymore. You know, I still prayed, but I had that assurance after that. And from there, it was a growing experience, and I had a lot of ups and downs. But there was a lot of people God placed in my life along the way to strengthen my faith and to keep me going in there. A big one was also my friends. It took a while. I was on the cheerleading squad, and popularity was something that was on my mind, and I'll share a little bit about that later on. But God kind of forced me out of that group as I had a decision to make, and I wasn't quite ready to give up my Christian faith. And because of that, I kind of got shunned from that group, and it ended up being a good thing. And from there, I turned towards some stronger Christian friends that were an encouragement to me and kind of got me on the right path and focused me more on eternal things and more important things. And I can remember we would leave each other notes in our lockers, notes of encouragement and scriptures, and to this day, I think I still have them in my closet. They were something special that just kind of kept me going at a time, you know, in high school that can be kind of difficult when you're trying to find your place and fit in, and it's kind of an awkward time. And those friends really helped keep me focused, and we served together as well. We worked at a Christian camp during the summer and during some weekends in the fall and winter. And those were times where we were kind of like siblings, because we would have, you know, those love-hate relationships where we would go on these weekends, and a lot of times we would fight just because we were in close quarters and we would fight. But then we would always end up, you know, making up and becoming stronger through it. And, you know, we kind of, you know, as iron sharpens iron, we encouraged each other. We grew together. And it was an awesome thing that I had those friends to do that with and to be a part of. And it led to, in college, finding friends that were similar, you know, that had that Christian faith, that wanted to serve, that wanted to be active in their faith and not just make it something that they had to do. In college, I had a group of friends that were involved in missions. We would go to meetings. We would, you know, talk about that. We would go to Bible study. So through that, you know, hindsight is 20/20. So I look back and I see, you know, God was involved in placing these people in my life to keep me on that path. At any point, it could have gone another direction. But God placed those people in my life for a purpose. And I needed that. Pastor Herb asked me to also speak about not just the people who brought me to Christ, but also those struggles and how I got through them, because we all have them. And for me, in my life, one of the biggest struggles was my health. Whenever I was about 10 years old, as I was growing up, even before then, I'd always been kind of sickly. Nothing major, thankfully, but ear infections, just not real healthy. And then at 10 years old, I was being a kid, and I broke my finger trying to jump a ditch that my friend dared me to jump. And the doctor looked at it, and we just thought, oh, it's a broken finger, no big deal, we'll get it. And he came in, and he was like, well, you know, I was looking at the x-rays, and I saw something that has me a little concerned. You might want to get it checked out. He said, her bone age is younger than her chronological age. And it could be nothing, but there's this thing called Turner syndrome. And I never heard of it in my life. Neither had my parents. He said, I'm a little concerned. You might want to have her tested for it, you know, have a genetic testing done. So that was the beginning of, you know, a lot of long medical things. But now that I know Chloe and Bella, I had no idea what what it meant to have medical struggles. But we went and got the test done, and it came back positive that I had, it was called Mosaic Turner syndrome. And if I'm not guessing a lot of you are familiar with that, but it's a genetic disorder where instead of having two X chromosomes, I only had 1.5. And so that opens up a lot of potential for issues. Fortunately, that was a blessing from God that I didn't struggle with some of the things that could have happened. For me, the biggest visible marker of it was my stature. It's kind of hard to hide, but that's an issue with Turner's syndrome women is having short stature. So, and that's one of the things that led the doctor to think that I might have it. And so when that diagnosis came, there were a lot of things running through my mind. At that age, one of the biggest things that you want to do is fit in. You know, you don't want to be different. And so when I heard that, that's what I heard. I heard, you're different. You don't fit in. And from that point on, my mom will even say, my personality even changed because of that. I was the little girl that was always dragging my friends to my mom, saying, here, Mom, this is so-and-so. I made a new friend. Can she come over and play? And after I was diagnosed, I kind of shut down. Became very introverted because I knew I was different. And so that did something to me internally. It, still kind of working through that, but I think it just, I felt that. And so I felt like I couldn't be as extrovert. I couldn't be as outgoing because of that, that I didn't fit in. So I kind of needed to stay back. And it turned out to be a positive thing. God used that in my life for me to become a compassionate person who had a heart for other people that were dealing with those types of things. But that was a struggle, you know, not fitting in and not being normal. And that led to me wanting to be popular, wanting to fit in. And it took years to kind of break through that and realize that that wasn't what was important in life. Another one of the things that kind of caused struggles with was dealing with all the medical stuff. And as a kid, you just kind of want to be able to go play and do your thing. And instead, from, you know, there were a lot of doctor's appointments, a lot of concerns. And for a long time, I felt like my mom was kind of preoccupied with that. And but now, looking back as a mom myself, I see, you know, she was doing her best to deal with it as well. And she was advocating for me. She was doing research when there was no internet. There was no, you know, email. There was nothing. So she, I remember her telling me, you know, she went to the library and got like a little article, and that was basically all she had. And there was just not as much information available as there is today. And so she was doing her best to advocate and to research and to figure out what was going on. And thankfully, you know, my parents were both very, very encouraging. And My mom said she's glad she didn't find out about the diagnosis until I was a little bit older, because she might have had a different perspective when I was younger growing up. It sheltered me a little bit more. But because she didn't know about that, you know, she really just encouraged me to do whatever and didn't hold me back. And so I grew up with that mindset, and thankfully really didn't feel limited necessarily based on my diagnosis because of that. And even, you know, my teachers and thinking about that growing up, they, you know, I was pretty open about sharing what I had. I don't know if it was out of just, I felt I had to explain myself, you know, why I was the way I was, but I did share my diagnosis with a lot of people, but it was that encouragement from my teachers, that acceptance that got me through and that kept me going. And what's interesting is going back, I can see, like, researching about Turner syndrome and the diagnosis, a lot of the things that geneticists or doctors say that individuals with it are supposed to have, I didn't. And actually, I think part of it is because I wasn't held back. I was encouraged to just succeed and do whatever I could. I feel like sometimes doctors give you the worst case scenario. And so I'm kind of glad I know that, you know, dealing with Bella and Chloe, because that's one of the things I don't want to do. I don't want to put limitations on them. You know, I want to see how far they can go, and I know they can. I know they can succeed. Those two things, the, you know, dealing with the medical issues and health, and then the being different, those were difficult. But the most difficult thing, and I've shared a little bit, but I haven't shared a lot in depth about the other thing that was the biggest struggle, and that was the infertility that came with it. Whenever we first learned about the diagnosis, they mentioned it. But at 10 years old, you know, it really doesn't register. It really doesn't mean anything at that point. And to my mom, it did. You know, I could, but I, at that age, I was like, well, why do you care, Mom? What's the big deal about that? And it wasn't until college that it kind of hit me. You know, as I was thinking about dating and starting a family, and it really hit me that, okay, what am I going to do with this? I hadn't really had to face it until then. And God kind of hit me with it and kind of made me deal with it, that, you know, you have to think about this. You have to come to grips with what this means. And I didn't know at that point, but that was kind of his way of pointing me to adoption. And I think he had that in mind all along. But I can remember one of the bigger moments when it hit me. We were sitting in a class in college, and I can't remember what class it was, but the scripture came up about how children were a blessing from God. And I almost had to leave the room because it just kind of hit me, and I wondered if I would ever experience that. And it was hard to think about, you know, and that kind of compounded the feelings of you're different, inadequacy, you know, your body's not working the way it should. It's not doing what it should. You're not fully what you're supposed to be. You're not a fully woman. And it was a hard thing to deal with. And, you know, a big thing too. And I think I didn't date a lot in high school, and in college, I didn't really pursue it that much either. And part of that was, I think, that insecurity. You know, if I get close to someone, how am I going to explain this to them? And are they going to accept that? Because I know most men want a family. They want their own kids, biological kids. And at that time, too, the doctors had mentioned, you know, you could try medical intervention and see if that works. And I think God closed that door. You know, in my mind, that was never really something that I wanted to pursue. And I didn't really know why at the time. Initially, that didn't sit well with me, but I think that was God, too, leading me towards adoption. But it didn't sit well with me, and so I wondered, you know, when I, if I choose to date and if I find someone, how am I going to explain this to them? You know, and are they going to be okay with it? And at what point do I share that with them? You know, so it was a hard thing to deal with. And then most of you know this part of the story. When I was introduced to David, he had adopted siblings. And right off the bat, as we were talking and getting to know each other, he shared that adoption was on his heart, and that's what he wanted to do for his family. And so it was kind of like God lifted that anxiety off of me and said, here you go, you don't have to worry about it. You know, here's this guy who is already primed for you. You know, he's set up already wanting to do that. So it made the conversation a lot easier. And I can't remember his exact words when I told him my diagnosis and what that meant, but they were what I needed to hear. They were so compassionate, and he felt the same way. He felt like God had just planned this, which he did. You know, that he had prepared our lives separately and then brought us together at the right time, and at a point where we could follow his will that was planned for us. So it was just... It's been an amazing thing to see, but it hasn't been without its hardships and going through that. And there are a couple of scriptures that I'd like to share that kind of got me through as I was growing up and through even the parenting journey that I'm on now. The first one is from when I was really young. It's one that my mom shared with me, and it stuck with me. It's 1 John 4:4. It says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. When I was younger, I was a little bit fearful. And my mom shared this with me. And actually, from that point, it's just been something that I've kept with me, that I've repeated to myself and just reminded myself that if we have the Holy Spirit, if we have Christ in us, we don't need to fear, because he is stronger than anything that can come against us. And I can remember medically when I was dealing with some of these things, my parents first told me that I was diagnosed and I had a diagnosis, I remember asking, am I going to die? Because I didn't know what that meant. And they quickly reassured me, oh no, but had to go through testing and all these different things. It was good to have that scripture with me to remind me to not be afraid no matter what was going on. I'm going to go back actually too and share before I share the other two scriptures. Now that I'm a little bit further down the road in my journey, I've looked back and I can see in the midst of the medical stuff and everything that I went through, God used those things to mold my character into what it is now. Like I said before, when I was first diagnosed, I went from extroverted, this person who was bubbly, talkative, to the point where my Sunday school teacher actually asked my mom, how do you get her to shut up? Because I would just chatter. And to this introverted, more introspective, quiet person. But it's been a good thing. I've had to kind of learn the balance, because I think one or the other is not necessarily healthy, but a lot of you know my profession, aside from being a stay-at-home mom, was counseling and as a therapist. And if you know any bit about that profession, you know, being a good listener, being somebody who's introspective, thoughtful, is a good thing to have. And so I think God used that to form me into somebody who was compassionate, who could listen and be quiet and be there for somebody who needs to talk. He formed humility, you know, knowing that I was different. And I actually had a diagnosis to back that up. You know, everybody's different, but they don't always have a diagnosis to prove it. So it kind of formed a humility in me where I kind of knew that I was weak and that I needed the Lord and I needed people. And that's not a bad thing. You know, I still struggle with that at times, asking for help and needing. There's a need sometimes still in me to feel strong and to do things on my own. But God kind of brings me back to that. And there was a humility I learned in that. And those were, you know, two of the biggest things. It actually strengthened me as well, you know, to go through some of those things at a young age and to have to deal with the diagnosis and what that all means. And going through that created a strength in me that I think has helped to deal with my daughter's diagnosis and what they're going through and to pursue what's best for them and to fight through it and to fight to succeed and to achieve in the midst of the struggles there. So I hope I can pass that on to them. It also, the last thing I've looking back, I can see that it created in me an appreciation for life and for what's really important. Because I was dealing with the diagnosis and what that means, it kind of, your priorities change a little bit. And especially when I was older too, dealing with infertility and struggling with that, I feel like there's an appreciation now for what's most important and all the other things don't matter quite as much. So I'm going to go ahead and share the other two verses. This next one is kind of my counseling mantra, my verse that I use as a counselor, and also just in life and as I dealt with my struggles growing up too. And it's 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That's a lot of comfort going on there, but that just speaks to me that even though the struggles might be difficult, God uses them so that we can turn it around and be there for others who are going through similar things. And this has a lot of meaning for me too, you know, as I parent Chloe and Bella, that going through a genetic diagnosis and dealing with that, I'm going to be able now to help them through that and what that means and hopefully bless them and be able to comfort them as they're dealing with it. And then this last one, this is the more recent one, as dealing with medical appointments and therapies and everything that entails. It's Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Sometimes it's hard to stick with our faith, and we'd rather give up and just take the easier road. But God encourages us to keep at it and be diligent in our faith. Because if we do, he promises a reward. And a lot of you have been able to see that as Chloe has been walking now around for a while. And that has been such a joy and a blessing to see. And it's a visible thing, but I think it goes along with this verse that there are those rewards that, you know, we can see if we don't give up. And so that's my encouragement. You know, even if there are struggles that you're going through, don't give up. God will use that so that you can minister to others, and God will reward it if you be diligent and you persevere. So thank you.
Well, we should thank Josh and Alicia for sharing. I think they both had different insights, but insights are important. And so encourage them after the service and thank them for their testimonies. If you would, we're going to